You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. It is a beautiful day.
Zach, every time this song is played, I have to be reminded of the time you and I were hosting Sports Talk Saturday, and you said, all, quote, from Zach Jones, all punk music in the late 2000s, or late 90s, early 2000s sounds the same.
Stand by it.
Stop.
Stand by it.
Get out.
100%
I thought
fact.
You were reformed. I thought you fixed this ludicrous idea that Fat Lip by Sum 41 sounds exactly like any other song from Sum 41. I don't know why I can only think of Sum 41 right now, but...
Interesting. It's almost like they're all the same.
No.
It's a shame. Sorry,
Stop.
Bud. Sorry, bud.
Stop.
Big day today. It is, of course, the NFL trade deadline. We've already got a number of trades coming in the NFL. We'll get to that here in just a second. But I also do want to remind everyone, of course, it is Election Day here in the United States. And, of course, for all Bills and all Sabres, all sports, all the time, keep it locked right here on WGR. We do have a Sabres game tonight as well, 6 p.m. Steve Fulton pregame as the Sabres host the Senators at 7. But for continued wall-to-wall coverage of the 2024 general election, do tune in to our sister station, Buffalo News Talk Leader, 930 WBEN and WBEN on the Odyssey app. They are, of course, going to have you covered all day and likely into the evening as well. Talking to some of our fellow producers here, they're gearing up for a long night going forward. Should be a very, very interesting day all around, both with the country and the NFL as well. Of course, the trade deadline being today. We've had already, though, surprisingly, Josh, three trades come in just this morning. Mm-hmm. It started this morning with Za'Darius Smith going from Cleveland to Detroit in one of the least surprising moves, I would say, so far, outside of like just teams adding wide receivers that we all knew. Detroit loses Aiden Hutchinson for the year. They go and get Za'Darius Smith. He's a much cheaper option than, say, trying to get a Max Crosby or a Myles Garrett, which would have made zero sense. But he's still going to come in, and he's going to give you good sack production. He's going to get to the quarterback, and you're kind of going to be able to keep the train on the tracks. Detroit already looks like a wagon. This keeps it from maybe falling off come playoff time.
This is one of the ones that I wanted the Bills to go after.
I did too, yeah.
I just thought that he fit what they needed very nicely. It was, you know, hey, he's a veteran player on a low contract, and you're not going to have to heavily rely on him as the season goes on, hopefully. But he'll be there for you now, and he'll also be a reliable backup.
And to be fair, Detroit gets him, I think, relatively cheap, a 2025 fifth and a 2026 sixth.
And
that's
they also
not bad
get
by any means.
A seventh.
Yeah, which
if
is,
that's worth anything to you.
That's normally how those go. Well, it is
right.
A full pick swap plus, like,
right.
We'll throw in the other one for you.
Mm-hmm. But it is a seventh round pick.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing. It doesn't end up actually really ever mattering all that much. I think this works for Detroit. For the Bills, though, I will say, I kind of backed away from it. Number one, you got Von Miller back, so you're kind of hoping the pass, he continues his production that he had before suspension. And then Rousseau, really over the last like month, has really started to shine in terms
last
of some of his best games.
Last game was a bit shaky for both of them. Granted, Von was coming back.
For everybody on the defensive line.
Well, yeah, that's true. The whole defensive line was pretty shaky. But Von and Greg Rousseau specifically, I mean, Von Miller's coming back from a four-week suspension. You kind of like, yes, he wasn't hurt and he was fully healthy,
though,
but at the same time, he's not practicing as he would normally, right? Like it's just more of a, you know, I'm going to practice on my own essentially and do what I can, which you can't get the same sort of reps that you can if you're practicing with the team.
Yep.
But at the end of that Dolphins game, Von did start to come alive. He did have some pressures. He almost got a sack, I think. If not,
I know Rousseau did.
Rousseau did.
And that was with the Dolphins, I mean, getting the ball out quick.
Yeah, that was the thing. And then you know the Dolphins will do that. So, like, that's something that the Bills obviously expected. But at the same time, that was probably the quickest I've ever seen them really
the last 2 weeks.
Get the ball
with Tua
out.
Now being back, it's been the last 2 weeks. Because that was noted against Arizona as well. They actually look different because of how quickly they're getting the ball out.
Right. Which, if you can do that effectively, then that's great. Because, again, the Dolphins, I mean, this is our first time being able to talk about it. You know, being Tuesday and everything, we're not going to go fully in on it, but the Dolphins did play that game very well.
It was the perfect game for them.
It was a close game. They kept the Bills in check in terms of the run game, and they were able to eat clock in that sense as well. But they also just kind of used that new quick pass, the reformed or revamped quick pass thing to their advantage. And I think that was something that kind of scared me early on in that game. But of course, you know, the Bills are a great team at the second half where they adjust. And that really came out in that game.
Oh,
against
yeah.
the Dolphins.
So, if you're a Dolphins fan, though, you're pretty crushed by that game. You played nearly – that is easily to his best game against the Bills in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And you still lost because the kicker that most Bills fans up to that point wanted gone
right.
made a 61-yard field goal. Like, at that point, you just throw
Good
your hands
Tyler
up and
Bass,
go –
Good for Tyler Bass, by the way.
I don't, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Great for him.
But you throw your hands up and you go, I don't know what we're going to do. Their, right. their defense right. Is honestly bad.
Yeah. No, and it's you know, you can see it with that hit Jordan Poyer had on Keon Coleman. I don't think that was a dirty hit. I think that's because Poyer is slowed down and mm-hmm. can't get to where he used to be. So he's going full bore trying to get there. And then, uh-oh, I can't pull out of it. And I did not get there nearly in time.
Yeah, a few years ago, it's just a great play on the ball.
Right.
Now he's late and he's hitting Keon Coleman in the head and now injuring his wrist as well.
Well, and also causing a penalty for his team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where you see all the players the Bills lost, like Jordan Poyer, like Micah Hyde, like Tre'Davious White. And obviously, Micah Hyde's not playing right now, but with Poyer and White, White's a healthy scratch, and Poyer is constantly making these bad mistakes for his team week in and week out. So, for all the people that were saying, oh, well, the Bills lost all these players, okay, cool.
Well, and I know Albert Breer has been big on that, too, of like talking about the Bills' culture and player development and stuff like that. Many Bills fans, though, for the last 2 years have been talking about the age of some of these guys and the fact that it's like, we've sort of gotten to a point. It was ready for the Bills to transition to this younger core, and that's what they're doing, and it's, for the most part, going well.
Yeah.
Injuries, though, continue to get them, and namely wrist injuries. We know,
which is wild. Like, it's just such a random thing that seemingly everyone that's injured on the Bills right now has a wrist injury. I've never seen something like that.
No. Dwan Smoot, we do know for him, he is going to IR. Don't know if it's season-ending injury, but he has now had surgery on his wrist.
I think they're saying it was kind of the same thing that Dwayne Carter went through.
Yeah.
Maybe not the same exact injury, but the same type of surgery. So that's probably why you see both of them on IR right now. But we're talking about right now, the injuries here. That's why I wanted them to go after a guy like Za'Darius Smith, because all of these injuries we're talking about is on the defensive line. And, I mean, sure, obviously Keon Coleman's not, but the defensive line already had issues this past week. Mm-hmm. Now they're also injured. So you don't have some of those players. And it's just this kind of problem where I'm looking at this like, okay, they should probably go out and get somebody today, but I also don't want them to overspend.
I don't want that. Well, I think that you're looking at it, though, too. The prices that are going off are the early trades now.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Khalil Herbert. He goes from the Bears to the Bengals for a seventh.
Right.
Which, you know, it's nothing crazy.
Yeah.
And then the only big trade, I guess, that would be like, but it's a clear misfire, has been the Cowboys go and get Jonathan Mingo, and they give him a fourth to do that,
right?
Which feels insane.
And honestly, it's funny. We were talking about this before the show. Jonathan Mingo, like, it's not that I would want the Bills to go after him, but he is kind of an interesting player.
He was interesting coming out of the draft.
Yeah. But, like, he just hasn't done anything at the NFL level. And I mean, it's probably because he's with Carolina, first of all.
It doesn't help, but he has not been getting open. He's not been a guy that necessarily is ever, like, a perfect example, Adonai Mitchell for the Colts has been somebody that you can look at and go, man, he is getting open a ton. His catchable pass rate is incredibly low. Like, he is being burned by the system he's in.
Mm-hmm.
Mingo has not had that. Mingo just can't even get targets. He's in a way a lot like, I mean, now a few years down the road, but a Sky Moore for Kansas City, where you get to a point he's not getting open. He's not even getting on the field. He's not even getting snaps.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of where Mingo is at this point. And it's only his second year in the NFL.
But I don't really know. Is that even going to get better on the Cowboys? I mean, looking at where he's coming from.
Yeah, they're going to Cooper Rush now.
Are they? Wait, what?
Yeah, Dak Prescott's going on to IR. So, I mean, like, you're going to.
Oh, that's right.
So Mingo's going to start with Cooper Rush.
I completely forgot about that. I was like, what happened to Dak? But. Yeah, and not even that, but more so the wide receiver room around him. I mean, you're taking him from the Panthers, who have basically nothing. They have Adam Thielen. Before they traded Deontay Johnson, they had Adam Thielen, Deontay Johnson, and Xavier Legette.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's all you have in Carolina. And then you trade away Deontay Johnson, so then all you have is Adam Thielen, who can't stay healthy, who's actually on IR, so it doesn't even matter. Xavier Legette, David Moore and Jalen Coker.
Oh, boy.
And Jonathan Mingo couldn't get involved in that lineup. And now
Steve Palazzolo also brings up a great point here over on the 33rd team. And it was, I know it's not apples to apples, but DeAndre Hopkins went for a conditional fifth. Mingo went for a fourth.
Yeah. But then, like I said, now you look at Dallas where you have CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Tolbert, Jalen Brooks. Like those, I mean, Brandon Cooks is on IR, so I don't know his status on when he might come back, if at all, this season. But you look at what they have in Dallas, those guys that have been there for years and they're also like kind of producing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring in a guy that hasn't produced on a team that's really bad and has opportunities, and you put him on a team that's trying to be really good and doesn't have many opportunities. And this is less on Jonathan Mingo and more on the Cowboys for trading a fourth for him. I mean, this is just, what are the Cowboys doing?
Well, I mean, this is Jerry Jones. I don't want to you know, beat a dead horse here, but like he's had a rough like last 18 months.
Yeah,
obviously being in charge of the Cowboys, he has been for decades at this point, especially as GM.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, talking about going all in and then effectively not doing anything in the offseason, getting the oldest running back room in existence that they can't run either. They are CeeDee Lamb and Dak dependent, and their offense isn't even any good.
And now Dak is hurt.
CeeDee Lamb's still producing really well, and then you know, even with his Mingo trade, he's, you know, half broke it during his radio interview this morning, just saying that they're getting a guy that they've loved since the draft. So I now wouldn't be, just hearing that quote and then seeing what they gave up for Mingo, I wouldn't be surprised if Jerry went in early with the, we'll give you a fourth. And this was done incredibly quickly because he well overpaid, not looking around at the rest of the league going, you know, even Za'Darius Smith doesn't go for a ton. And we're sitting here as Bills fans. I heard Chris Trapasso on earlier today with Jeremy and Joe. You're seeing the compensation that's going around the league, and you're seeing it going, oh, the Bills have a lot of fifth-round picks and fourth-round picks and sixth-round picks. And that's where, like, I do look at, you know, I would much rather see the Bills add somebody like a defensive tackle, because you're not seeing a good year out of Ed Oliver up to this point.
Right.
It has not been up to his standard, especially set to last year. And I wonder if it's who his partner is next to him. So I'd like to see the Bills add somebody on the defensive line. My dream would be Calais Campbell.
Yes, I'm on board for that.
For a half-year rental, that would be my dream of adding him. You're not going to keep him long. I think he is like 36, 37, 38. I mean, he's older. But if I'm just going to have him for 9 to 10 games, depending on the playoff run, beautiful. Let's go. That's my dream. And I'm getting him for what? A sixth round pick?
Maybe.
Probably,
yeah.
Like, okay, giddy up. Let's ride.
Mm-hmm.
I am a little nervous in terms of the injury to Keon Coleman, especially because we're at a point now where we're sitting here. We've had two games where the wide receiver room has been healthy up to this point, and you can't even fully say that because we don't know what's going on with Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, that one's a big question mark for me. And I
don't want to see the Bills add another wide receiver. I like where they're at. I think now you have Khalil Shakir healthy. I think Amari Cooper was held up mainly just to be, we know where we're at in the division. Let's get him 100%. No reason to throw him out there. We'll be fine. Even if we lose this game, we still got a good enough lead. We'll be healthy. We can go on a run here. They end up beating Miami, so it ultimately all works out in the end.
I'm at the point, though, with the wide receiver room where, depending on Keon's outlook, I would love for them to go for another wide receiver. Because if Keon's going to be out long term, I don't want to just go back to basically what we had in week one week five.
That's the thing. And yesterday's press conference, or not press conference, but just sit down with the media from Sean McDermott, didn't give me a ton of confidence. Whenever you hear there's more testing, that's never a good sign.
Yeah, and then also, what's going on too with Amari Cooper. If Cooper can't get healthy or is going to be a little shaky here, you don't have to add anybody big, but go get, you know, a Darius Slayton, a KJ Osborne, like somebody like that who can just come in and be there and kind of supplement you for a little while your guys get healthy. And then if they do pop off in that offense, then great. You can keep using them. But the problem, the bigger picture is Curtis Samuel has not done what you want him to do as an $8 million a year player.
Oh.
That's been one of the biggest misses so far this offseason, is he hasn't been able to do what the Bills offense expected him to. Partially, it probably could be because of injury, but I don't really think it's all that. I think it plays a factor for sure, but if he's that injured, he wouldn't be playing in games. He was playing on Sunday against the Dolphins. I didn't notice him till the third quarter. I saw the number one jersey, and I was like, oh, Curtis Samuel's in today? Because I didn't see the list of inactives. I just assumed he was out, and I didn't even know he was playing.
I'll be honest.
That invisible.
Joe Brady spoke yesterday with the media too, and he was talking about Curtis Samuel's usage, and I don't know who the reporter was that asked him, so I apologize, but just basically asked him, you know, everyone else seems to be getting touchdowns, kind of except Curtis Samuel, like everyone's getting involved, and maybe this is the pessimist in me, but like listening to Brady talk about how, you know, well, him just being out there, you know, scaring the Dolphins and such. And I'm like, I'm like, then why are no big plays happening? Why did he play 19 snaps? If it's that much of a threat, Mike Schoep brought this up too yesterday. If it's that much of a threat, why isn't he playing most of the game?
Mm-hmm. Well, and because Cooper definitely brings that factor. You saw that in his first game against the Titans.
Yep.
Not the Seahawks game.
You saw it in the Titans where he wasn't doing anything
except
opening up. Titans, he was genuinely doing stuff.
Yeah, right. But in the Seahawks game, you saw it where he wasn't really doing anything, but just him being on the field did cause other things to open up,
mm-hmm.
which I think is part of the – is if you want to look at it 50-50, that's probably half of the reason why they traded for him. And obviously, half of it is because he still has a great ability as an NFL player.
Mm-hmm.
But the other half is he's a decoy almost. He can open up other guys and kind of – just expand your playbook where you have all these plays, but you can't really run it because you don't have the full personnel that you expected.
Yeah.
And that's where Amari Cooper is great. But if he's going to be hurt and if Keon Coleman's going to be hurt, you might need to add someone else because then you're back to Khalil Shakir, Mac Hollins, Curtis Samuel, and guys off the practice squad.
Yeah, Tyrell Shavers. And Shakir's really your only consistent threat.
Right, exactly. And then obviously you still have, you know, guys like Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid, but what have they really done this season?
Oh, man, watching last night's game
mm-hmm.
and watching Baker Mayfield without Chris Godwin and right. Mike Evans just decide, cool, it's going to be K-Dot in a day.
Yeah.
And for them to go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs,
yeah.
a game that I didn't think the Chiefs would like necessarily like put up 40 on them, but I thought the Chiefs would win comfortably because Tampa wouldn't be able to score. And I had an interaction with somebody on Twitter as well, just like, and this is me saying it, I feel somewhat bad, though, of like, I'm sitting here somewhat discouraged watching K-Dot in a fourth-round pick from 2 years ago ascend to this, and I my best hope for my first-round pick is to get 50 yards a game. I now see that as like a benchmark of like, hey, great job today. And it's just – it's incredibly frustrating. This weekend there were some low passes to him that were not really his fault. It would have been an amazing catch if he brought him in.
Mm-hmm.
But to see him just not be a main focal part of the offense, something I really thought in the offseason – was going to be true, end up being 100% right on Shakir. I mean, 100% wrong so far in Kincaid. He has not been the threat I thought he was going to be, even in the end zone. He's not even a guy that's kind of poaching touchdowns or what have you, like Dawson Knox did a few years ago when he was just a big play guy, and that was kind of about it. He wasn't really a volume tight end. Kincaid hasn't been that. I will tell you, though, just personally for me, I'm not really into the wide receiver market. I do think Cooper is fine. I think they were being more conservative with him. He was limited all week last week. I'd be more worried if he was out the entire week, questionable, and then was ruled out. He was limited. He was able to practice. I think they were being more conservative with him. You have Cooper. You have Shakir. I think he'll be fine. Yeah, you're going to have to sprinkle in Mac Hollins, but James Cook and Ray Davis have shown out to be very good in the passing game.
Ray Davis.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's been a phenomenal pickup for the Bills.
He has been awesome. And that's the thing, too. When we get to talking about wide receivers, you kind of forget about certain aspects of the offense.
The quote-unquote playmakers outside
of
wide receivers.
Right, and Ray Davis, is it fair to say that he has been a playmaker for the past 4 weeks?
100%.
Like, I think he has been a big part of that offense for the last four games for
really,
the Bills.
Really, since Cook had since the Jets game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you look at Ray Davis and what he can do for your team, it's an element the Bills have not had on this team in a very long time. And I think that that's important to this offense, far more important than it is to have, you know, two tight ends that can catch the ball consistently. Mm. Yes, I want Kincaid to be involved, but I think that Ray Davis doing what he's doing, it just adds this other element the Bills haven't had. And it creates another problem for the defense on top of Allen can throw the ball really well and, Allen can rush as well. So if you have that three-headed monster and then you also occasionally throw in those Kincaid catches for big plays or the Knox red zone threat, whatever,
yep.
That's where you kind of get this offense rolling. But right now you're down to two of those things. You're down to Allen being able to run and you're down to the running backs being great so far this season.
You are, but I'm not nearly as worried. My biggest worries has been execution in the early parts of the game. I mean, they were driving on Miami, even in the first half on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It was a terrible blocking attempt by Kincaid that ultimately ruins what would have been a good deep shot to Keon Coleman. He has to throw it early. And I mean, Keon's throwing up the arm the whole thing, but Allen has to throw it early. Then, of course, you know, Keon again, you go down to the red zone. If you drove all the way down, it's an easy pitch and catch. He doesn't catch it. It's an interception. I mean, I was not as discouraged by the first half as I have been in other weeks. For me, it is much more the defense. Namely, defensive line run setting, edge run setting, and stuff like that. It was a really, really bad game by the Bills in terms of the rushing attack. And it's alarming because it's another bad game against the rushing attack, Baltimore being the first. And now you do have Jonathan Taylor next week, which could be interesting. I mean, it's Joe Flacco. The offense looks completely useless for Indianapolis.
Aside from Jonathan Taylor, potentially.
And Taylor, I think for a lot of Bills fans, lives in memory of a guy that absolutely torched you. For a long time, we sat there and go, yeah, the only blowout was Jonathan Taylor from like 4 years ago. And he's still there, and he's still very good. Not necessarily he is that still, and I'm not saying that the Bills aren't, that is going to happen to them, but that's if they were to add anything, and I don't think they will. I heard that Brandon Bean clip earlier today. I think was that with Pat McAfee?
Ross Tucker.
Ross Tucker. And yeah, I think it's fair to take that at face value. Like, unless they can go get a Calais Campbell, which, it's a division rival as well, so I don't really know.
Yeah, well.
Unless they're able to get him for very cheap, I just don't see them making a move. I think they really did make the Cooper move for the sheer fact of Curtis Samuel's not hitting and Matt Collins, we're targeting him too much. The offense is not in any sort of sync. That's why they went and added him. And to be fair, I think the Khalil Shakir injury highlighted that more. I don't know if the Bills were going to be willing to make that move at the time unless they did see what the offense looked like when Khalil Shakir for the second half was injured against Baltimore and then completely out against Houston. You saw very quickly how what could be and has been a very efficient passing game so far this year immediately dipped when he was not in the lineup. I mean, he already has more catches than he has in any other year of his career up to this point. I mean, he's going to be a guy that is maybe going to get to like 90 catches after missing a game and for half of one basically being a non-factor. I'm very, very excited for him. And I think it's a big thing too. I don't want to take touches away from key playmakers just to potentially add somebody. Again, it depends on Keon Coleman's injury. I'm still holding out hope there, but I mean, they'll kind of know. I think they would sort of know if, like, hey, we maybe want to make a move for the rest of the year because we won't have Keon. I think that might actually be a telling sign if they add a wide receiver today.
Yeah, depending on who it is.
And I don't think they are.
Because there's going to be a level to that where if you go out and just for funsies, let's say they add T. Higgins.
Just like, for funsies.
Like, that would be cool. That'd be great. But it would also be like, hey, wait a second.
That probably means you're out Keon.
What's happening to Keon? Yeah.
And right. I think that's the thing is, for me personally, that would be where my mind would go. Is if they were to add a receiver today, I would assume Keon is out long term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, I mean, that I think wouldn't. I would obviously much rather have a player come back from injury than have to go out and add a player because, one, you're giving up assets then, and two, even if it is a player like T. Higgins, you're losing a year of development from Keon, which. Sure, you're gaining half a season from T. Higgins, but you're just going to lose him in the offseason.
Like, yeah, and he is not somebody I'd want to pay long term.
No, just no, flat not at all. No. It's just, it doesn't. He's going to get a big contract, but he's not a wide receiver one, and he's going to want wide receiver one money.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's that. But again, if they add a wide receiver that's, you know, further down the depth chart, like a KJ Osborne,
that'd be nice.
That'd be kind of nice. I'd be interested to see something like that, but it still kind of gives you this worry in the back of your mind of why add that. If this other guy's going to be coming back.
803-0550, the number to call. What do you want to see the Bills do on this NFL trade deadline day? We've also got a Sabres game tonight as they're hosting the Ottawa Senators. And we also had a Monday Night Football game last night that severely frustrated me to no end, namely Tampa Bay head coach Todd Bowles. We'll jump into that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Back to pass, delayed blitz coming. Allen looking deep down the left sideline for Coleman, trying to come back to the football, and he's nailed. Defenseless receiver, and the flag flies. Jordan Poyer is going to get called for hitting a defenseless receiver helmet to helmet. It's a huge penalty.
Chris Brown on the call there. It was a game-changing penalty. It ultimately did help put Buffalo in position to kick that 61-yard game-winning field goal. But now, because of that hit, it has got a lot of Bills fans holding their breath a little bit on the health of Keon Coleman. Hope to learn more tomorrow. Bills are off today, although they'll likely get more information today. But with how lock and key they keep a lot of their secrets, I can't imagine we'll get a report or what have you on Coleman's health. But we will see. Talking NFL trade deadline today, as the deadline is later on this afternoon. We've already got three trades for today. The Bills got active a few weeks ago. A number of teams have as well to add wide receivers. And let's now get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to the phones. Adam is on the line. Adam, how are we doing on this fine day?
Not too bad, guys. Hope you're enjoying the weather today at some point.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, maybe go driving range, knock around 9, something like that.
Oh, man. Well, now I might have to.
Just in terms of the trade deadline here, I'm going into this very cautiously because, you know, you kind of look at the Bills' history of acquiring offensive players during the season, and Nyheim Hines comes to mind with this one. You know, I remember when we got him, you know, we just kept on waiting for him to be used mm-hmm. as a weapon, and it never came. And I feel like McDermott has a very staunch history of, you know, being very defensive of the guys that are quote-unquote already here. You know, it's like we get Cooper, and it's like, you know, he's asked about Cooper, and it's like, okay, you know, he's a good player, but let's not forget about the guys that we already have here. Well, it's like if the guys that were already here were producing and doing what was needed to be done, you wouldn't have had to go out and get Cooper. So I go to this trade deadline, you know, really hesitant on being excited about any type of receiver help, any tight end help, you know, even anything on the offensive line if they're looking for depth pieces. You know, and I see us more or less looking to add in the defensive backfield because, you know, again, you kind of look at revisionist history. Think of Rasul Douglas. You know, mm-hmm. he came in and he's able to adapt right away. And why? Because I think that's McDermott's strength. So just any defensive backs out there that you guys think would be a good target for us, I'd be interested in to hear what you guys have. And also I wanted to just address the slow starts, man. It's repetitive. It is consistent. And I can't for the life of me understand why we come out every single game so flat. It's run, pass, and punt. And if I'm another defensive coordinator out there, you know, it's not hard to predict what we're looking to do. And I don't understand why we can't just open up a game, you know, just play action. I don't care who it is. Mac Hollins, run down the field as fast as you can. Josh is going to launch it as far as he possibly can. And maybe that'll get the opposing team to back up a little bit, and that'll help open up the offense. If you look at the passing chart for Josh Allen this past week, I don't think he had one throw, one attempt of over 20 yards. And I understand, you know, we don't have the explosiveness anymore that we're looking for in terms of the long playability. And they're all about, you know, run after catch and give these guys an opportunity to get the ball as quickly as they can and get the run after catch going. Just in terms of that, just would like to hear your guys' opinion about what we can do to maybe start off a little bit faster. So I'll hang up and listen and go enjoy the day.
Adam, man, thanks for the call. And, brother, you're speaking a lot of my language there with the slow starts. It's taken years off my life. And you know what, though? A lot of it, what's frustrating is exactly that. It seems like, you know, going in, they're going to run a first down, they're going to run a second down, and then they're going to force a pass on third down. Because they've had difficulties getting open when you're all of a sudden third and 7, third and 8, and trying to throw the ball, mm-hmm. it's difficult, even with Josh Allen, a quarterback. The Mac Collins thing, though, I don't think it was the first drive. He did throw to him deep against Houston.
Yeah.
And it just didn't go anywhere. I think a lot of it, though, too, is I wonder if the Bills are a team that just is, I personally think, to their own detriment, but in a way I can understand where this works. They're letting the game kind of tell the story early rather than kind of aggressively getting down, you know, pen to paper, and they're going to write the story. Mm. They're kind of letting the other team sort of dictate what kind of game are you going to get out of us.
Which, if you think about it, it kind of plays into the way they are as a team, because they always, we've talked about it, they always adjust well in the second half. If they just let the other team show them what they're going to want to do the whole game, that's how you can easily adjust in the second half. But at the same time, you can't do that against every team.
No, because you can do that against the bad ones. You did it against Baltimore. It was basically a blowout. Yeah, you had a moment.
You kind of did it against Houston, too.
Yeah, you kind of were bad the whole game against Houston.
Well,
your defense got much better in the second half,
yes.
But you could argue that was Nico Collins going on or what have
right,
you.
Right. But overall, though, it does work in some scenarios, but mm-hmm. when you're playing the better teams, it usually doesn't work. When you're playing the Baltimores, the Kansas Cities, the Detroit, mm-hmm. like that's not going to work. And
I mean, you do anything wrong against Detroit, they're going to kill you.
Yeah, you don't. You do everything perfect against Detroit, and they might kill you. Like,
they got the mandate of heaven. The amount of like pick sixes, kick return touchdowns, lack of yards, but blowing teams out.
Right.
I'm telling you, mandate of heaven, right there.
Color did bring up there though.
I thought it was Pittsburgh. It's not. It's Detroit.
Going for a defensive back of some kind, somebody in the secondary. I'm not necessarily looking at cornerbacks, but also
safety. Safety is the one I definitely think about. I will say though on the one point in terms of McDermott kind of always defending his guys.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I don't think McDermott means anything by it. Of like he doesn't trust the new guys coming in. I mean, Rasul Douglas has been open about the fact. I mean, he went in mainly due to injuries,
right?
And he's been open about the fact that it was sort of the veterans dictating him where he's going to go and
right.
telling him, hey, just jump the pass if you got a shot.
So,
and that helped him great, but like he's been open about the fact that like this was when he was actually learning the Bills playbook, not when he got traded for. And even the Bills were open about loving that they got Cooper in now because he could learn the playbook, and as the season went on, he could be effective. In terms of him defending his guys, look, I think it's him being – funny enough, it's election day. He's being a politician. The guys know it's an indictment enough that they're going to trade for a wide receiver. There's no reason then to go to the media and go, yeah – we are not getting open enough. These guys are rough.
Right.
It's an
right.
indictment enough that we do have to go at somebody because I am not getting open enough, or I'm not catching the ball, or what have you. It's enough. There's no reason to then go out and bash him again. It's kind of like Chicago with that cornerback where you know he came out, he publicly apologized.
Tyree Stevenson. Yeah.
The team came after him, and then what do? Well, now we're going to demote you in practice and stuff like that. And they kept piling on.
Right.
And this is the thing, too. And I've taken some calls and I've heard and even taken them on the station as well. This is not a league where you learn life lessons. Mm-hmm. These guys are many of them into their mid-20s going into their 30s. So whenever I hear, you know, it for the quarterback, Allen throws three interceptions. Bench him so he learns his lesson. Okay, cool. He's never playing for you again. Like, you can't treat them like children. It would be like that if McDermott went out, these guys just aren't getting open, it's bashing them
left, right, and center. There's times you can do that with rookies, and we've seen that happen.
Sure.
I mean, look at James Cook in his first game. He had a fumble on his first touch and didn't play for the rest of the game.
Sure, but you think Mac Hollins, Curtis Samuel, even Khalil Shakir are going to take it well when
no,
all of a sudden. Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
And there's levels to that. Like, you could certainly discipline players, but you can't just discipline them by benching them and by berating them in the media and things like that. But back to the point about, you know, trading for someone in the secondary. A name that was, if I remember correctly, linked to the Bills in free agency this past offseason, who ended up signing back with his team on a one-year deal. A young safety.
Mm-hmm.
Julian Blackmon, Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
He's on a – whenever I look at trades, I always look at guys on the end of their deals because that's usually the only players that are ever traded in the NFL. And I'm looking at – age too, because Julian Blackman's only 26. He's on the end of a one-year deal. The Colts didn't commit to him long term. Not really sure why, but at the same time, the Colts are kind of in a weird spot right now. That's also where you could get this. Is the Colts are in a weird spot right now. You could probably offer them some draft capital. And to be fair, he would be probably a pretty tough get, I think, because
mm-hmm.
he is one of the better safeties in the league at the moment in terms of on the rise as a younger player. But I mean, just last year he had 4 interceptions.
Yep.
Which is, that's pretty good. And
I say do it just for the intel this weekend.
No.
There we go.
So what do you guys run in defense? Okay, cool. See ya. We're cutting you.
Cut him. Make
no,
a statement.
I don't know. What do you think? I think that he's a player that they've had issues with the secondary. They've had issues with safety mainly.
Yeah. I'll give you my thought after this next call, Mark, because I think Mark wants to talk about another safety. Mark, you're on the line. How are we doing today, man?
Hey, guys. Happy election day.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Jordan Poyer thing kind of fired me up about the safety position. And to that caller's point of who do we think, I think a guy like Buda Baker would fit in perfect here. And I thought Jordan Poyer looked slow ever since the Bengals playoff game. I thought he looked just slow, like he lost a step. And I thought, you know, it was an illegal hit, and I don't like anybody defending him. I have no love lost for these dudes that leave the team. I don't know if I'm just fired up today, but Buda Baker would be my answer. And I love the idea of getting bigger and better on the interior. I don't think you're getting enough out of Von Miller and Ed Oliver to where, you know, they could affect Mahomes or get after Lamar. But I'm going to have to listen to you guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, happy election day as well. And, watching Tampa Bay's defensive line, namely Vita Vea, it's so good. But the Bills are kind of getting got by what was sort of a modern run for NFL defenses, which is getting smaller and faster. And that includes on the defensive line. And now you're having some teams that are of course, you know, attacking that, getting bigger. It's gonna be kind of an ebb and flow to it.
Yeah.
Safety, though, I will tell you, number one, Buda Baker, I think you're going to have a near impossible chance to get him for the sheer fact of Arizona's good.
Yeah, if Arizona was bad, he'd be
if Arizona had
totally
two wins, yeah. He's 100% on the table.
Mm-hmm.
They right now are in the lead of the NFC West. I personally think Buda Baker is literally off the table.
Yeah.
And I think Arizona's even made a trade to grab somebody. So, like, they are maybe even slight buyers, but they're definitely not sellers and certainly not maybe their best player on defense, arguably one of the faces of their franchise.
They're a conservative buyer.
Yeah. I think he'd be a wonderful addition to the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they were a bad team, I think it would also take like a second, a first-round pick to get him.
Not to mention the fact of salary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he makes too much money for the Bills cap right now. That's also why I was looking at a guy like Julian Blackman.
Yeah,
because he only makes 3.7 this year. Again, it's a one-year deal, so you would have to sign him at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But he's young enough where I think it'd be worth it to give him that cap space you're about to receive. Because the Bills are going to have a lot of cap space this offseason.
I also wonder,
and they wonder too
if they want to add him just because, you know, the Mike Edwards experiment didn't work.
Yeah, and they were also linked to him mm-hmm. last offseason. Mm-hmm. I remember I was really excited for the Bills to potentially go after him because, again, he is a good young player. He has four interceptions last year. He's got one this year. He has a sack this year. Like, he has been good.
Yeah.
But the problem is the Colts aren't – they're not great, but they're not bad either because – just because the AFC South is terrible.
I was going to say, yeah, they're 4-5. I'd be very surprised if they traded anybody either as sellers because, look, they ultimately made the move to Joe Flacco because they think they can make the playoffs now. That's why they're benching Anthony Richardson.
Right.
I think it's an amalgamation of a few things, but I think that's a major one of them thinking, no, we can make it now. Let's not wait. I think it's a terrible decision. But
right.
Again, I think it's also a mixture of a lot.
But because of the fact that the AFC South is terrible, maybe they can... aside from Houston, maybe they can squeak into a wild card spot by winning their other divisional games. But at the same time...
I think it's fool's hope. But
yeah, exactly. But that's why if you're the Bills, if you go out and offer them your extra second,
mm-hmm.
because even if they were bad, I think that's what would take to get a guy like Blackman.
I have no appetite giving up more than a day three pick
mm-hmm.
because you're seeing these other trades going around. It's all day three picks.
Right, but to be fair, they're day three players.
Well, they don't necessarily have to be. I mean, you're getting a half-year rental for most of these guys.
Yes, but they're day three rentals. If Blackman was a rental player for the Bills, if mm-hmm. the Bills couldn't sign him next offseason and they traded for him, he'd be a rental player but an expensive one.
Yeah, he would be. For me, though, you just spent a second-round pick on Cole Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Taylor Rapp is himself also a young safety.
I forgot about Cole Bishop, actually.
I guess I'm at a point, and maybe it could potentially be bad on me. I want to see those guys fail and then succeed first before I'm in within nine games going to decide, never mind, screw this, we're changing, you know, trajectory. I think, honestly, the Bills' offense, namely their passing attack, showed, you needed to do that. You needed to make a change there. I don't know if the safeties have done that yet. I am more concerned about adding a bigger body at defensive tackle. And again, mm-hmm. ultimately, don't even think the Bills will make a move. But if it were to be a move, would I hate a safety addition? Probably not.
Yeah.
Would I prefer a defensive tackle or an edge setting or a run-stopping edge player? I far prefer that. And that would make me, I'd say, a little bit happier. I said it after the game on Sunday. Go add a run stuffer and let's ride.
Yeah. I mean,
that's where I'm at.
That's fair. I look at, you know, the issues the Bills have had in the secondary. It's not Christian Benford. It's not Taron Johnson. It's not Rasul Douglas. It's not even their backups. It's their safeties. And you know, Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp have come up in big moments. I mean, Hamlin had a fumble. Did he force the fumble or did he have the fumble recovery?
Fumble recovery, I believe.
No, he picked up the one that was ruled not.
That's right. That
was
right,
ruled
yes.
down. But I think he was part of the guys that forced the fumble that Kyer Elam did recover earlier mm-hmm. in the game. But still, I mean, so he has had his moments, and Taylor Rapp has been a big, hard-hitting safety at times. But I just think that that's one of the areas where if you add another key piece to that, even though you're defensive line has been shaky, I think they can return to form a lot quicker than these safeties might be able to show you more.
Yeah. 803-0550 is the number to call. What do you want to see the Bills do on this NFL trade deadline day? Also, college basketball got underway yesterday, and locally, a very good night for college hoops. We'll talk a little bit about that after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Bryson finds Batchelor on the right, who drives under the hoop. Left corner, done for a three, and the win, and he got it! He got it! He got it! 83-82 Buffalo, timeout UB. Tyson Dunn from the left corner hit a go-ahead three-pointer. 1.3 seconds on the clock.
Well, would you look at that? College basketball got going in bulk yesterday. There was like over 130 games yesterday just on the men's side. I don't even know about the women's, but both UB programs were in action last night. UB women took down Troy yesterday earlier on in the evening, and then you heard there UB men taking down Old Dominion. Went on the road, 10.5-point underdog, Josh. Go out and win 83-82. You heard there, Tyson Dunn, game-winning three-pointer. This is a team that won four games last year. I mean, you know, in a really bad spot, trying to rebuild post Nate Oates and missing on some head coaching hirings. They won four games last year. To get this win in that fashion on the road, you know, not necessarily a neutral site, but you're at Old Dominion's campus. Great for them. And Niagara also. In action tonight, last night, Purple Eagles got a big win as well over Houghton as they begin their year. 100-65, seven different Purple Eagles scored in double digits, and they'll actually be on the road. They're going to take on Michigan State on Thursday. That's going to be an 8 p.m. tip-off. And then UB Men, I think next week, are at Notre Dame as well. So some big power four teams for UB and Niagara to take on. Should be a lot of fun. Love college basketball being back. Big fan. Big fan, Joshua.
Wake me up when it's March.
Is that a surprise when you say big fan? We know you are.
I know, yeah. Like everybody knows. Like it's like my one like deeply uncomfortable trait is like I watch college basketball in November. I also watched it like 11:30 last night. I watched Gonzaga kill Baylor. It's a top 10 matchup, Josh. You weren't there?
No.
Come on.
I was asleep.
Top 10 matchup. I'm watching Gonzaga run Baylor off the court. It was beautiful. Got some trade updates, or at least some inquiries. Jeremy Fowler tweeting that the Titans have received inquiries on defensive line players, including Adrian Key and Sebastian Joseph Day. I'm a big fan of him. I know Aaron Quinn over Cover One. He was tweeting about him. I'm all for it. That is another guy that I think, and that's a team, Titans, who are clearly shelving off talent. They'll also never know peace for letting Derrick Henry go to the Ravens and DeAndre Hopkins go to the Chiefs. So they could do the Bills a solid and give them Sebastian Joseph Day for a seventh round pick. That would be kind. He is somebody, though, I'd be a huge fan if the Bills could go get him, because he's a run star. He's a big defensive tackle, 6'4", 310 pounds. And for an overall not great Tennessee Titans team, he's helped them have a pretty darn good defense. At least up until like the Bills games, where they sort of kind of fell off a cliff. Bills kind of ran them out of the building, and Detroit did as well. Although they did get a win over New England this past weekend. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to get on some of this NFL trade deadline talk. The Sabres also have a game tonight. They're hosting the Ottawa Senators. 6 p.m. Steve Foldedahl pregame show will get going here on WGR for a 7 p.m. puck drop. And you're listening to WGR.